like a dog chasing a car. I wouldn't know what to do with it if I caught it. The Joker, ladies and gentlemen, from The Dark Knight Returns. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
This is episode 21, a movie discussion podcast. Thank you for joining us today. And welcome new listeners, if we have any. I'm assuming there. We discuss movies to their fullest. And today we saw The Cure for Wellness, a new one in theaters, and The Jacket. But we will get into that. First off, entertainment news last week. There's a lot of news that's been flying through. I'll start with Mel Gibson. So the WB, who makes all the DC movies, have, and this is rumor so far, they have him pegged to direct Suicide Squad 2.
Hmm.
Now, he is normally with the blood and guts, and he, his movies are about realism. So I don't know how loony Mel Gibson would do with a comic book movie, but I'd watch it because right. It can't be as bad, anywhere near as bad as the other one. But also, moving on from there, Rufio. Do you remember Rufio? Does the name ring a bell?
From the
Hook?
Robin Williams.
Yep. So the actor who played Rufio and a director friend of his, well, they started a Kickstarter. Because apparently the actor, I should have got his name, but I apologize for not. Apparently the actor who plays Rufio always gets asked, where did Rufio come from? What happened to Rufio? So he has started a Kickstarter to make a Rufio prequel that describes Rufio's life before Neverland and how he became, quote unquote, Pan before. And it's called Bangarang. Last I checked, they were up to $20,000, and they had a goal of $30,000. So they're close to there, and they had 29 days left to go. So I would like to see that.
Yeah, I'd watch that one.
Of course, he's not playing Rufio.
Obviously, he couldn't do it. But,
yeah, which he still kind of looks the same. He's just a little chunkier, you know, and grayed out. But, yeah, he obviously could not do that. Moving on, The Raid. Little movie I enjoy. Mm-hmm. You enjoy yourself, right?
Yeah.
There's also a Raid 2.
Yes, there is.
There is going to be an American remake of The Raid. And yeah, I had that same reaction. I was like, okay, so they came out. I watched a little thing. There's a little thing out right now of the people who are remaking it, watching the original, and they're chatting. They're saying, we couldn't do a straight, we would have to do a reimagining.
Mm-hmm.
So they're planning to do a reimagining of The Raid, whatever that means. I of course will watch it because the original Raid, amazing, just out of nowhere, just nonstop butt kicking action, and I loved it. And last but not least, one of my favorite directors, despite Yoga Hosers, Kevin Smith has a lot of news coming out. He just announced here, actually this is older, but he announced he's doing Jay and Silent Bob, the reboot.
Mm-hmm.
So he described the plot of this. They're back because they found out that Hollywood is rebooting their movie Blunt Man and Chronic from the Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back movie. And they are ticked off. So they're going to deal with Hollywood. That was the short summary of that movie. He can't do Clerks 3 because of conflict with the studio. He can't do Mallrats because nobody's picking it up. Mallrats 2, I mean. So he's like, I own these characters. I can make this movie. I'm going to make this movie. So, and I love the fact that he's the kind of guy who will, people may watch it, people may not watch it. I'm going to do it and put it out there. Right. Of course, he has the fan base to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. And also, Sam and Twitch, were you a fan of Spawn at all?
Mm-hmm.
Sam and Twitch are two detectives from Spawn, the Spawn series. They are making a TV series based on those two detectives, and Kevin Smith will be writing and directing that series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not we'll get Spawn crossover, don't know, but right now it's Sam and Twitch. So,
interesting.
Yeah. Like I said, that was lots of news. That was the longest entertainment news last week. there was.
Right.
But anyway, we're going to be getting into the movies now. We'll start with the jacket.
Yep.
So I'll go ahead and get WatchBot, if you wouldn't mind.
Robert, after the past week of watching Calvin, I found myself asking if I am alive. He sits and watches TV just as I do. The only difference is he seems to touch his penis a bunch. If I had hey! One of those to touch, would that make me more alive?
No. Sorry. Don't answer that, Robert. He gets forward sometimes. Could you please just get on with the introduction to the movie, WatchBot? Thank you.
The jacket, after miraculously recovering from a bullet wound to the head, Gulf War veteran Jack Starks Adrian Brody returns to Vermont in 1992, suffering from periods of amnesia. While walking, he sees a young girl, Jackie Laura Marano, and her alcoholic mother, Kelly Lynch, in despair beside their broken-down truck.
Okay, well, that is the intro summary, I guess. I guess you're not going to say the rest, but we'll take it from there. The Jacket, a 2005 film starring Adrian Brody, Keira Knightley.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, I didn't see him, and he's not listed in the main credits, Daniel Craig. So your thoughts on this film?
I really like this one. I'm shocked that I missed it when it originally came out.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks for the suggestion.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Jake. I believe we have a lot of suggestions. I didn't mention this is a half suggestion episode. Jake, the guy I worked with, he recommended The Jacket. Thank you, sir. But yeah, this was, I think, the superior movie today for me. So Adrian Brody is a war vet. And here's the thing. Now, here's the biggest question. He's a war vet who gets shot in the head, loses his memory. Brief summary. He gets accused of killing a cop after that and is thrown into a mental hospital where they do experiments on these people by putting them in a straitjacket and then shoving them in a morgue drawer after, well, first pumping them full of some kind of test drug.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you think the jacket is necessary?
I don't think the jacket was necessary.
Exactly.
I guess they were trying to restrain him. They didn't want him to be able to move or something.
Yeah, but they don't want him beating around in there.
Yeah, that's what I assume. But yeah, I don't think the jacket at all was necessary.
Yeah, and so it's a cool concept, and it's like this old straight jacket that's all there's a big pee stain because mm-hmm. they leave people in there so long. But yeah, so they give them these drugs. And they shove them in there, and the first time he kind of just has relapses of past war events, all the tragedy that's been going on in his life, and then it gets better, it gets more interesting from there. Doc, are you telling me you made a time machine out of a straitjacket? Because that's what happened here. Do you like that concept that he could time travel with these drugs? And apparently it has to be the drugs.
Well, yeah.
Because the jacket does nothing. The morgue drawer does nothing. It's like the internet.
It's probably a combination of the drugs and his injury.
His brain injury?
His brain injury. I think it was, because I don't think the other guys who...
But Daniel Craig's character kind of hinted towards, or would you think he's just nuts and was going along with it?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. But, yeah. I don't know. I felt like it was a combination of the brain injury and the drugs, but it's possible, yeah. I thought the ones were doing it too. Maybe they didn't realize as this guy figured out what was going on.
Yeah. So maybe
they were so crazy, and he was the only sane one.
Yeah, he was actually sane and already had this brain trauma. But needless to say, the second time he gets put in here, he actually focuses, and we see him. 2007, this movie was made in 2005. It's set in 1992. Mm-hmm. And he teleports to the future, which is 2007 mm-hmm. for him. And all of a sudden, he's standing there on a street corner, and there's Keira Knightley coming out of... What do you think of her accent in this? Because she hit her British accent fairly well. So did
Craig. I didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
Notice it at all.
Both of them got rid of their British accents. And going back to Craig, I'm all over the place today. I'm sorry. Let me take a drink. both of them got rid of their British accents. And Daniel Craig, if you like his James Bond, this is him like I haven't seen him before. Like, he's normally this proper prim dude. He played a crazy, like, whacked out.
Really well.
Yeah, we're very well. Yeah, so, but yeah, Keira Knightley and him. Now, we have to do a little history on why Keira Knightley's character is important. So in the beginning of the movie, he gets amnesia and they discharge him from the military. I guess they want nothing to do with him, or they don't, I don't know. I don't know if that was a nod at what happens to our vets, but they kick him out and he's walking down the road and sees a, now the mom is just wasted. Shouldn't be driving with a kid in the first place.
Right. I don't know why she was trying to fix her truck. She was out of it. She was like,
so this lady is sitting on the side of the road, just whacked out of her mind. You can bet she's not conscious of what's going on. Her kid's just standing there, and he comes up, and you know, he's the nicest guy in the world. He's like, having problems? And the kid does like the introduction of the mom, and it tells him her name, tells him we're having car trouble. So he fixes the truck, and the mom, at meantime, gets up and goes and hurls in the forest. And he gets the truck started. The little girl takes his dog tags, which I found odd, but whatever.
Yeah, he would give up his dog tags so easily. That's kind of strange. Yeah. But, like you said, he's the nicest guy ever.
Yeah, nicest guy ever. Gives his dog tags to this little girl. And then the mom wakes up and is like, as he's hugging the girl, saying thank you. Well, she's saying thank you to him. It's like, get away from my daughter, you effer, and you blah, blah, blah. And
just maybe she saw into the future when she was drunk.
That's possible, because Keira Knightley's character in the future is that same little girl that he helped out in real time, I guess, his real time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they develop a relationship.
Yeah, a little creepy.
It's a little creepy because he flashes back to normal time, and we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Anyway, this whole time he's doing this, he's dealing with the fact that he's locked up in a prison mental hospital for the criminally insane, I guess. And everyone thinks he's this cop killer because he was screwed over shortly after he helped her and her mom. And he realizes that he can do this time travel thing and finds out that he has 4 days to live while he's in the future, because he dies on December 1st, 1993, and he goes back to 4 days before that. Remember that? Do the math. But yeah, Christmas Day, I think.
January 1st, wasn't it?
January 1st, I'm sorry. Yeah. My math screwed up. But yeah, he goes forward on Christmas Eve. And yeah, finds out he has 4 days to live back in present day. And he needs to fix that. And he and Keira Knightley's character Jackie, I think her name was, go on this hunt to find out how he dies in that mental hospital. And it's a super engaging story.
Yep, I like it a lot.
Any standout characters for you?
Daniel Craig's character, yeah. I liked a lot. But for me, it was okay. That one doctor didn't even look like a doctor to me. He was like this old guy. I don't know.
That was weird. Blade's mentor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it just didn't seem like a doctor to me. But yeah, and I guess Brody's character was okay. But I just preferred Daniel Craig's crazy acting was the highlight for me.
Yeah, because he's completely like those freaking ocean blue eyes shine through. No homo. But his acting just overshadows everybody. Like, just seeing him, knowing what he does now and seeing that, just like, wow.
Everybody starts somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
But still, he did such an amazing job of that. It's crazy.
I'm surprised he hasn't done anything like that since, or that I've seen since, really.
Maybe you feel like he's paid his dues now. He's a ladies' man all the time.
He's freaking James Bond. But you can tell, like, he's ripped, like, in that plaid shirt. He wears, like, a plaid shirt and a vest, and he's just, like, busting out of it. But, for me, I gotta say he was, looking back, the most standout, I think, because Brody was interesting, because of who, like, the way they build up his character. Keira Knightley, like, she has this tragic past and she's confused, but the fact that she accepted the fact that this is a man from the future so fast kind of gets me. Mm-hmm. any standout moments for you in this one?
Well, I liked how the overall, how the big, it was basically him trying to save himself, but then towards the end, he's like, well, I'm going to try to save her instead of himself.
It's inevitable.
Basically, he's realizing it's inevitable. He's not going to be able to stop it, but
yeah.
So I liked that part. I liked how, I was wondering how they were going to, you know, address kind of the alternate dimension, like he's changing that future. So there's like two timelines now. So I was wondering how they were going to address that. And I liked how they did that. So
yeah, the whole time he, like Robert said, he's trying to save himself, but at the same time, he's learning what he did. So he goes and fixes her, because her life, her mom doesn't get any better. In the future he goes to at first, she apparently fell asleep with a lit cigarette and burned herself alive.
It just screws her daughter's life up.
Yeah.
Follows in her footsteps and
her daughter as well. Lives in a shack. Well, I guess it's a little house. Sorry. Shack. Okay. Her daughter lives in a nice place. Okay. Has a living room and a nice upstairs bedroom. She's like a drunk, apparently. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what she was trying to convey.
Yeah, they had bottles in the freezer and bottles in the car. I saw a Smirnoff bottle in the car. Yeah. So, yeah, she's an alcoholic.
And she fell asleep with a lit cigarette, ironically, the first time they met. And he stumbled across his own dog tags.
Not the first time they met, because she was a little girl. And it's
yes. Like, you have to remember. First time
the adult version in this alternate timeline meets Brody's, I don't know what.
So what's that math? 1993 to 2007. How many years is that?
Don't make me do math. 14.
Needless to say, they eventually get it on after he convinces her that he is that same guy she met. They get in bed. And I have a problem with this. Mm-hmm. Because now I know it's the future. She's grown. But he met her as a child.
Right. And it wasn't that long ago that he met her as a child for him.
Like, for him, it was like a week, maybe 2 weeks.
So I don't know how long he was in court or whatever. Yeah. It wasn't that long ago.
I mean, yeah, Keira Knightley's attractive. She's an attractive woman. But, yeah, it's a little weird. And, yeah, they get it on, and they develop this whole relationship. And she's just weird altogether, because when he first appears, he's just a guy standing across the street from her job. And she's like, need a ride? It's Christmas Eve. I'll take you to my house. You can sleep here because it's Christmas Eve. Like, no, you're a little woman. And this guy is a convicted criminal.
No, he was an innocent convicted criminal.
True. But yeah, I thought that was a little weird.
Maybe she had such a good feeling about him was because deep down she
knew,
she remembered in some, you know, in her subconscious that he was the guy or whatever. So
because they do a long kind of prolonged glance when she first recognizes him or sees him standing across the street. So yeah, I can.
It's probably why I'm sure she just wasn't riding around town picking up people and letting them sleep on a couch.
I'm gonna do you, future man. So I don't know. It's still creepy for me.
It was a weird moment. It's strange that they did that, but.
And do you think it's a coincidence that he appears in front of her first? Like, do you think? Because later he gets to her by focusing on her. So do you think he was thinking about that kid, Jackie? He appeared in front of her. You know what I mean?
I don't know why he ended up where he ended up when he went in there. But I guess that does. You're making a good point, which makes it even creepier. So yeah.
But yeah, he So he realizes he's gonna die, and he wants to make amends. He wants to fix Jackie's life, future life. So he writes out a letter, and he goes. He convinces. Oh, we're skipping that doctor.
He does save the boy too.
Yeah, he saves a boy. So that was cool. Sorry, G.I. Joe's second one, is that? But he, one of the doctors is on the side. She is trying to help a mentally challenged boy. She knows that something's wrong with him, and she wants to get him to talk. But she doesn't know exactly what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So he, by going to the future, learns that he saves this boy's life, helps her save this boy's life, by telling her something. And then, of course, Keira Knightley's character, Jackie, figures out exactly what he told her. And so he goes back and saves, helps her save this boy's life by telling her that. But yeah, that lady helped, because of that, helped him escape. Or,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which wasn't hard because he walks out at one point in the movie and he goes for a little walk.
There are guards. There's one orderly at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, she helps him escape and goes to young Jackie, the little girl who he helped. And that just makes it so creepy because now these two have done it. They've been there. And he's stroking this little girl's face, petting her on the shoulder. It's like, dude, no, that's not the one you're doing. But he gives her mom this letter saying, you're going to burn yourself alive. And
I did your daughter.
Yeah, and I did. But, yeah, so he saves her, and the mom, I guess, fixes up things because he realizes that he's going to die from a blunt trauma to the back of the head, which I don't know why he was so groggy all of a sudden.
Yeah, that didn't really make sense because he wasn't really taking any medication.
No.
Unless that was just like time catching up with itself and then that's what's going to happen. So.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
But he gets out and slips on ice, and that's how he got the blunt trauma to the back of the head. Hey, that's what's his face from Turbo Kid? Which they're making a sequel from that. There's a Turbo Kid sequel coming.
Is there going to be Apple in it?
I don't know.
Because I won't watch it if it's not Apple.
I was looking at, I forget what I was looking at, and yeah, I saw that. But, oh, sorry, it's a jacket. So he saves her, and she gets this new life. And his last effort is, which I don't know what these doctors were thinking, because this man slips, crushes his skull on the ice, and he says, get me back in the jacket. And they take his gushing blood from the back of his skull, take him, strap him in this jacket, which is unnecessary, shoot him full of drugs, and shove him back into this morgue drawer.
I think they did it because she believed him now because she saved the boy.
But still, it's like, me and you sitting here watching this, logically deducted, I don't need to strap this guy down in this jacket thing.
Mm-hmm.
They try and emphasize it because this straight jacket has this hole right in the heart, which they never use at first. But in this particular moment, they inject him right there in that hole, like making, the jacket, you see, it's needed. But no, they could have just shoved him in that morgue, pumped him in drugs, and been done with it. But no, they strapped this man up and shoved him in there, and he goes back or forward. He goes back to the future. And now we see Keira Knightley coming out of her same slum job, so we think. But now she's not getting into this Jeep Cherokee that she had. Now she's getting in to a nice little bug
mm-hmm.
beetle car.
And
she doesn't remember him, which I liked. I was hoping they didn't, like, hey, you're back, you know, mm-hmm. and screw up now because he's reset time. He has his new fantastic life, and she sees him across the street, and now it's even weirder that she picks him up because he has a huge gash on the back of his head, and he's got bleeding. Blood stains up and down his neck.
Maybe that's why, because she does work at a hospital now. She was like, hey, maybe I need to get this guy some help.
Now, instead of a waitress, she works at a hospital. So, yeah, I guess that makes sense. But yeah, she takes him to the hospital and they drive off happily, we're assuming happily.
So what do you think happens after that? Do you think he eventually disappears, or does he get to stay in that alternate timeline?
I see, that's what I was thinking, like, because now he, yeah, because he was dying mm-hmm. in his present day. So if he dies, does he, if he dies, he dies. Or does he, you know, stay there? Does that consciousness
stay there? I would like to think that he stays there in that new timeline. That's why it was so imperative that she got him back into the jacket. Because basically the only way he comes back is if he wakes up. So if he wakes up, then that's when he comes back to his what's supposed to be his regular time. So I like to think he stayed in the future.
Let's go with that.
I want to go with that one. I like that
ending. This one instance, I'll be happy, man. And they lived happily ever after. Right. But yeah, so that's the jacket. I'll go watch it if it came out in 2005. I'm sure you can find it on Netflix or Hulu or rent it somewhere. But yeah, great watch, Robert. You think?
It was awesome. Yeah, I highly recommend that one.
Yeah, go watch that one. It's a fun watch. I guess now that will take us to Potter and Family promos.
This week on the Netflix and Swill podcast.
My dog's been rubbing his on everything. So like his was like all red and irritated. So today I had to glove up and rub hydrocortisone and coconut oil on my dog's balloon knot. So I would rather do that for the runtime of this piece of than actually watch the film.
So check out our show on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook and Twitter, Netflix and Swill.
This week on All Around Music, the 59th Grammy Awards. What a show. Seeing Jay-Z's face in the crowd when Beyonce was slowly leaning back in that chair says it all. Did you see his face?
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. Watch the video.
This week, we have music by a band called And Robots.
Nice.
That's going to be pretty good.
I dig it.
Yeah, I like them. Yeah. Sing us a couple of their songs. They're out of Connecticut. Check them out.
You can find us on Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Please subscribe.
And we're back. And we're going to do one of my favorite segments. I say that every week, but trailers. You want to go first, sir?
Sure.
All right.
I'm going to go with I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore.
That's the title of this movie?
No. Just, I don't feel at home in this world. Okay. At it anymore. At home in this world.
Hmm.
That's the name of the movie. I know it's a long one, but...
Yeah.
The trailer looks pretty cool. It's about this lady who... She doesn't like the way the world is and how people are treating each other. She has her house broken into and something stolen. And she goes and he tells her neighbor, who's played by Elijah Wood... And she's like, yeah, they stole this. And he's like, oh, my God, we gotta get these people. We're going to find out or whatever. And so they go on this little quest to find out who broke into her house and who stole her stuff. And just a whole bunch of people behaving badly and them trying to be the voice of reason and all that craziness. It looks fun. I'm going to check it out. Hopefully it's not a bust, but I think there's some potential in that.
Do you think that'll go like theater-wide?
No, that one's going straight to Netflix.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
But yeah, I think it's a good idea and worth the watch.
I will definitely watch that one. For me, it is The Bad Batch. And this is one I saw just a couple days ago and it completely captured my imagination. First off, it's a post-apocalyptic, so any other worlds happen. Secondly, the cast. This has Keanu Reeves.
Ooh.
Who I must say, I watched an interview with him, and I'm going to take back what I said about his acting ability on the last week's John Wick episode, because he's this like super animated, super vibrant, like he's like the life of the party in this interview. I'm like, where's this guy? Like when he's acting. But anyway, it has Keanu Reeves, Jim Carrey, Suzuki Waterhouse, who I don't know, Diego Luna, Jason Momoa, who's going to be Aquaman, Giovanni Ribisi, who huge cast. And apparently this girl gets kidnapped and tortured, but she escapes. And it's kind of a apocalyptic revenge tale from there. And Keanu Reeves is playing like this kind of a Carnegie character. And then Jim Carrey looks like this homeless man who's traveling around. You can barely even recognize it's him. But yeah, anyway, check out the trailer. It looks pretty fun. The Bad Batch.
The Bad Batch.
Yes. And that will take us to the feature presentation, The Cure for Wellness. Go watch Spot if you wouldn't mind this time without the sass, please, sir.
A Cure for Wellness is a 2016 psychological horror thriller film directed by Gore Verbinski and written by Justin Have. The film stars Dane DeHaan, Jason Isaacs, and Mia Goth, and follows a young American executive who is sent to a mysterious rehabilitation center in the Swiss Alps. The film was released on February 17th by 20th Century Fox.
Thank you, sir, for that. Cure for Wellness. Robert, your thoughts on this one?
I really like this one. I know you thought this was the least good out of the two, but I really enjoyed this one all the way through. I'm going to say some things about it that are going to sound like criticisms, but they're not. Like, it was slow. There was something, it was confusing.
These are not
criticisms. They're not criticisms, because I actually, like, I liked that it did that, because then the reveal, it was, like, that much more rewarding leading up to it. So I enjoyed it. I would say this, though, if you are really interested in seeing this movie, I would stop listening and then watch it, because you're going to ruin the hell out of it for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the reward comes when from watching this.
Now, image. I'm going to say this. I don't think they hid anything well enough. Like,
you figured it all out?
I had this movie figured out from the moment that I met the Baron. And we're going to go into spoiler territory.
When did you know he was the Baron? I didn't figure it out till towards the end. I did figure it out, but not till the very end.
They kept giving you mystery, quote unquote, and filling you in with this story of this Baron who did this and did that, and then, but yet then they'll just throw right in your face the answer. I wish I could explain this better, but I was...
Because at the beginning, though, if you thought he was the Baron, how did you think he was still alive after 200 years?
See, and that's where I was, that's where I knew the water had rejuvenating, because they kept throwing that in your face, too. Like, this water, drink the water. The water's special.
Was it the water or was it the eels?
I think it was a combination of both.
Because the water, if you got in the water, it killed you.
But the...
It was poison, but
he said the eels lived 12 years everywhere else, but in our aquifer, they lived 300 years. I think it was a combination of both.
I'm going to have to watch this movie again, because, like I said, it was confusing for me, especially in the beginning. It was confusing, and I don't know. I thought they did a really good job with it, though.
There are things I enjoy, but there are things I got a real Shutter Island feel. I don't know if you got that at all.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, you could have put Leonardo DiCaprio in the lead, and it would have felt like that movie. Sure. Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's a horrible movie. It's not a bad movie at all. I felt like a good job for me of hiding the mystery, because at what point did you realize she was the daughter of the Countess?
Shortly after the older lady was like, she survived.
Mm.
They threw the infant in the thing and she survived. At first I was thinking she's the child was the eels somehow. They're like some kind of a mutated creature, and they're like, I don't know what was like. I was confused. I thought it confused me. I thought it was good.
So they give that reveal. The old lady tells you that this daughter is the Countess, or the Countess's child was thrown into and survives. But then 30 minutes later, they show you a picture of the Countess, and they're like, da, 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 see, you didn't know this. But it's like, yeah, we did. You just told us. But I guess you had to be smart enough to realize that she's talking about the.
Yeah, I'm not smart enough.
You know? That's not what I mean. I don't know, man. Like that was, it's just like things like that. And then him.
Well, they don't introduce that there was a daughter at all until towards the end, and that she survived. So there's no way you would even think that young girl was the daughter and had been alive for 200 years. For me, like, I never made that connection. I finally figured out he was the Baron. I didn't get that first when he wiped his forehead and there was blood. But then later when he got hit and I saw it. The whole mask thing, at first when I first saw the mask, those human-looking masks that they were growing, I thought it was hers or something. And I thought she was some kind of...
Hannah?
Hannah's, yeah. Because of how weird she is. And I'm thinking, maybe her face is going to come off and she's an eel. I kept thinking she was an eel for some reason. I don't know why. But, yeah.
Here's, like, the fact that they kept noting how special she was. And I was like, okay, so she is either... The Countess survived or the Countess had a kid. Those were my two things. And, like, I don't know. I just...
The reason why I thought it was the eels that was making them could make them immortal, because the vitamins that they had to take that kept them alive for so long. He said it tasted like sweaty fish,
which we found out that's what it is.
Yeah, so like, that's what I'm thinking. Like,
yeah, so I guess yeah.
I don't know.
I like okay. So like I said, I'm not bashing this movie at all. I thought there were some great parts.
You know, I could bash away.
But for me, it was semi-predictable. But there are some amazing standout scenes. And
did you predict the scene where the moderating the guy floating in the tank? that made no sense to me.
That was crazy. So,
or why she would go in there and do that and then give him a little taste of the immortality drug, like.
So now speaking of the immortality drug, that's a game
they've been playing for centuries. I can tell you that much. That wasn't the first time they did that.
No, they've been doing that for a while, because he straightened it up, set the scene up. They convinced the main character, who I guess we should set up the whole movie. Watchbot did kind of a good job, I guess. The unexecutive goes. This company finds out that they want to do a merger, but they have some bad stuff on their books. One of the partners goes off to this resort. Quote unquote, I guess they think it's a resort, spa type of deal, and he just decides not to come back. And so they send a guy who they just promoted, and they find out he's done some dirty deeds, to go get this guy so that they can blame all of the dirty deeds of the company on him. So Lockhart goes to this spa thing to get him back, and as he ends up getting into a car accident. And has a broken leg, but there's a scene where he kind of just gets accepted into the spa just to rescue, to try and get deeper in to pull out the guy, basically. But they put him in this giant vat of water, as an isolation chamber, I guess. And, there's a guy watching him. he's going inside of this isolation chamber that's full of water. He's going, like, tripping just balls.
Who was he really tripping, though? Because there were eels.
There were eels. You're right. So those eels probably came out of, like, a vent or something. Because
the whole bottom of it was like a vent. It was like a grate.
Yeah.
So there was probably...
Yeah. So
was he really tripping?
He might not have been tripping. But while he's in there, tripping or not tripping, a woman comes in to this guard who's reading a book. He puts that book down. She's just, like... casually standing and leaning against the wall, then, like, before she does anything, this guy starts masturbating. He's just going to town. And she starts unbuttoning her shirt and just is standing there, topless, while this guy's just going to town. And I'm sorry for... But, yeah, and then this... While the main character is in this tank... drowning because his breathing apparatus has come out, and there's eels all around him.
I don't know how he survived that.
I don't either. He literally drowns. Like he stops moving and takes his death rattle and floats to the bottom, and then we next scene they're pulling him out, but I don't want those hands pulling me. it was a great scene, but
that was great.
Yeah. So the guy, the director of this place, I think when I found out was the bar scene, because the way he came in and demanded confidence and everybody just backed down, and then they solidified it with the blood, which later on you connect with the faces, but yeah, I like him. I like his character a lot.
The Baron?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's this story of this hospital, this mental hospital is up on a hill, and apparently, what was it? There was a Baron castle there beforehand. And did you think the incest thing was necessary?
But for him, because he was looking for purity.
Okay.
So yeah. I do wonder, because otherwise, why would he be trying to get on his daughter later? I mean,
true. So this is a Baron who had a wife, and he did all kinds of experiments. His wife was his sister. The town people hated this, and they.
I don't know if they hated that she was his sister. I think they hated that he was stealing people from the village, making them do the eel thing, so he could become immortal. I think that's why they attacked and burned their little whatever castle thing down.
Mm-hmm. And so they rebuild this thing over the remains of this castle. And we don't know why at first. Even though we are given a hint, because they show a picture with the bandaged man. And no, actually, you know what? That's when I freaking knew he was the Baron. Because I was like...
When you saw the bandage?
Yeah, because I'm like, the Baron survived. Clearly, that's the Baron. Like... And that's like, I don't know.
Looking back, I can see how obvious it was, but it just didn't occur to me because I let my guard down just to absorb the movie. Mm. But if you were really, really thinking, I could see when he was, the way he held that little, whatever, the
rope, yes.
The locket, whatever, I don't know what you call those things.
Yeah.
That thing, when he hung it over the frame on gently, he was all, make sure it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense when you put it all together and then the photograph. But I like how the photograph, you didn't get to see her. It got cut off, which was kind of weird.
That was cool.
But, I mean, so I could see how, you can figure it out.
But we slowly piece together more and more of this ancient story of this 200-year-old story, right? Of this Baron and his incestuous marriage. He was doing experiments to secure his wife. She was sick or whatever.
Apparently, she couldn't have children.
That came up later, I think. First they were like, she was sick, and then they secured
her.
Yeah,
and they turned it into, she couldn't
have kids.
But the only experiment that they were doing was the immortality one, so I don't know what...
How they would connect that.
Yeah, how they're curing the not being able to have a kid.
So then she needed the kid. Then they burned her alive, made him watch, and... cut the kid out of her. And
threw her into that little underground thingy. I guess the eels didn't like her, so...
Yeah, apparently the eels left her alone, and this Baron found her.
Which does make sense, because later in the movie, they left her alone again. So maybe they thought they were one of...
They don't explain that, like why the eels don't want her.
No, sure doesn't. Because I can't be the immortal thing, because when he falls in the water, the eels grab him.
But maybe after all these experiments on the wife trying to make her fertile, he made an immortal kid, and the eels realize it.
Okay.
I don't.
She still needs the vitamins. I'm doing the quotation mark thing in the air.
Because if you drink the water of the aquifer without the vitamin, it poisons you and kills you slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you add these ills and process it through people drinking the water, then it makes you immortal, right?
I don't know if the old people were immortal. I think they were just, because they
were processing.
they were just making the immortal juice, and then they would die and shrivel up and get thrown into the water. Because
they weren't getting the medicine.
Exactly. Vitamins. But so, I don't think the water had anything to do with it. I think it was just the vitamin.
You needed the water, though?
No, I think they just needed.
Because that's why he kept telling them to drink up. Because and that's the thing. Like, so he would tell them to drink up, get them full of this water, then take them to the transfiguration room and flush the ills through them. And I think the water was like a preparation thing for the ills. I don't know.
I'm not for sure. Like I said, it's confusing. But the way I got it was that they make the immortality juice. Mm-hmm. They need to have the ills inside them. And then they just, whatever process that machine was doing to them would...
Like it basically makes them sweat, right?
Yeah, basically. But I don't understand why he was so stressing the water.
Yeah, they stressed the water.
And then why their teeth was falling out.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both the ills and the water.
Because the water was poison, though.
But the ills purify it. Okay. And that is the combination of that purification through the ills.
Maybe he was making them drink the water so they would all think they were super sick. So that they
keep them there?
To keep them there. Maybe that was it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It could go either way.
Yeah.
We'll have to look this one up and figure out what this guy was thinking when he wrote it.
Either way, it's an interest. It's a thinker. And make sure we're sitting here thinking.
Yeah, it sticks with you.
So the driver, I would be mad at that driver.
If I was the main character. He doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, he knows. They never leave.
The only one that knows is
he knew they never left.
Yeah, well, he didn't know why. I mean, he goes up there all the time, and there's old people dancing in the little grassy area. So he's thinking everything's all right. The cop that was down there in the village was in the immortal too.
Yeah, obviously. He was in
the. So I don't think the punk kids were.
No, but they respected the director.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to I guess because I was gonna say they were gonna get busy with his daughter, but she never left, so they probably just. Thought she was someone who wandered down there.
They never saw her before because she never came down. It was the first time.
So these old people are up there having a hoot. They're living life. And it's all... what attracted them there? It was a cure, but what did they think they had?
For whatever ailment they thought they had, there was apparently a cure at this place.
A masterful cure.
Yeah. Okay. There was apparently a cure at this place.
It was just full of rich people who thought that it would make them, it would cure them. And once they got there, because they were getting hypnotized as well.
They were, that scene where he stands up, when he gets into the dining room, and he's like, yeah, everybody stand up, let's take over this place or whatever he's talking about.
Yeah.
And then the director, the Baron, is like, I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wonder why he's saying that. Because then they all rush him.
They do a zombie action
and grab a hold of him.
And so apparently they were just drinking the water.
They some of them were still going through that process in the, I don't know which ones, but.
Yeah, so there were several steps to this whole cure, turning you into a vat for my ills to make my juice.
I just figured it out.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
Nope.
Basically, they were drinking the water.
Yes.
He was saying the water is poison. They were drinking the water because they mentioned in the movie, I don't know if that percentage was correct, but that the body was 60-some percent water. So they were drinking that water to get rid of their own water so that their body is basically made up of the stuff.
Their fish tanks.
Their fish tanks. So once they got that water in them, then they could get put the eels in there and sweat them out because they're sweating themselves out, and that's what makes the immortal juice.
Brilliant. Bam. Look at this guy. This is why he's my co-host.
Sack-a-douche.
Yeah, so these old people are freaking fish tanks for these immortal eels that make immortal juice. Boom. Yeah. Air high five. But that still doesn't account for the hypnotism.
That was just something, I don't know what was going on with that, but that was just something extra, I guess.
So yeah, these old people at one point get hypnotized and get up and attack people. I don't know. And then after he gets the ills pumped into him, starts acting like a hypnotist, like he's hypnotized,
Yeah, right, yeah. They just have some kind of something's in that water that makes them trippy. because he goes into that room, steam room, and it's like there's all four walls. He doesn't know how he got in there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's a deer.
So, which never happens again.
There's just a random deer walks by. Hey, deer.
But and needless to say, the guy he's there for just, I guess he's just as bad. He's happy.
But I'm starting to understand it more and more, but what I'm not getting, what I'm not getting is the tank thing. They're floating in tanks. They seem like they're dead, but then the dude's alive.
Maybe that, I guess the further purification process. That's all I can think of. Right. Like, oh, to rehydrate them. Because they put you down in that hydrates the heck out of you.
But you know what? I wonder why, I guess after they do that so many times, they're just no good and they just become a husk and then they gotta just chunk them.
You only have so many rehydrates.
Right.
But needless to say, we get quite the reveal. Now, I didn't expect his face.
I like his face.
That was cool. So this Baron, and it's a horrible scene right before this. This guy has been waiting for his 200-year-old daughter
to become fertile,
to become a woman, have her first period. Yes. And this whole time, apparently, he's been keeping her out of the water because he doesn't want her to get sick. But he has been giving her the immortal juice so that she does stay alive. She gets the idea to go into the water, I guess, from Blackheart.
I don't know why she goes in that water that scene. I have no idea why she does that.
But yeah, she gets in the water and then she becomes a woman, if that's what you want to call it, I guess. That's what I'll call it because it's, and the eels swirl around her. And before this, we saw a scene where the eels, I guess at the same time, actually, the eels rip apart people. Mm-hmm. But they didn't her. They left her alone. I still don't know why. But she gets out, and he's in like this dinner hall, and he just stops everything he's doing once he sees blood at her crotch area. And it's like, yes, it's time. So he marries her, his daughter, in some weird cultish.
Yeah. This is the way I took it. All those people that were working there were also immortal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
A little cult of immortal.
Yeah. And he takes her down to this room that he's had for 200 years with all his other faces, or he's making faces out of something. Because he has a bunch of faces to keep him looking young. Because his face looks like decay.
It was like oozing like fish slime or something. It was weird. It was cool, but it was weird.
Mm-hmm. And he ties her to the bed and rips her clothes off and proceeds to go to town. So it not one for kids.
Very awkward scene.
Yeah.
Almost not quite as awkward as
the jacket.
The masturbation scene, but it was weird because I don't know. I felt like it was weird.
They kept saying that she looks like a woman. She did not look like a woman. She looked very young.
Yeah, I thought she looked young too.
But yeah, they tried to justify it, but in the story, she's 200 years old. But yeah, she looks like a young girl. But yeah, he does this. But luckily, she gets saved before they consummate the marriage.
Not before he breaks her heart. I'm assuming that's what they were implying.
Yeah.
And then awkwardly sniffs his fingers, which also. Why?
And then he gets his comeuppance, though, because that very same vat that they dump their dead bodies into and feed the eels, restarting the circle of weird life. He gets brutally killed, like a shovel to the skull, and it goes down to the nose, like and then falls.
Did you notice that he already had a scar that was almost that same angle?
He did.
So it kind of hit right where
that This dude, one of the things I love, he's fighting the whole time, and one of his arms is on fire. Because the castle gets burned down again, spoilers for it.
I think he was a little stronger, too, than a normal human, because he took that guy and just threw him.
Like,
which is another point I would love to make. This, the main actor in this, I don't remember his name, Lockhart, the character's name.
He was from the superhero movie, found footage. I need the bad guy.
Oh, you're right. That's where I saw him before. Yeah. He takes some hits.
Yes.
He gets thrown through a couple of things. He gets thrown down a flight of stairs, sort of. Like, he takes some hits. That was pretty impressive that he was able to take those hits and the character was still able to get up and keep going. That was wow.
That's a good point, because he gets, like, in that bar fight. He gets thrown through two tables.
Yeah. And, like, he looks like he hits his head a couple of times. Like, he's still getting up.
But he's not a likable character for me. Like, this guy is a douche. And they make a point of that to show you that this guy's a douche.
Especially in the beginning.
Yeah. He's all about, I think the point of the movie, like, to not cherish wealth so much and focus on living your life. But
he didn't feel for him at all because he had to witness his father's suicide.
No.
He didn't care.
Yes, that is a horrible thing for a child to experience. But for a lot of people, it will humble them, you know? Like, but this guy takes it the other way. And I can't say, you know what? I'll take it back. Because he had drive. Like, he wanted to succeed by any means necessary in his job. But then again, he didn't make the comment. His friends are all, like, congratulating him when they find out he gets a promotion in the beginning of the movie. And they're like, don't forget the little people when you make it. And he makes a comment of, I won't, because you're going to be the ones bringing me coffee.
You know how I like my coffee.
Yeah. So he's a bit unlikable, but overall, I'd say go watch this movie.
I think it's super interesting.
Yes.
I mean, I guess if you dumb yourself down so you don't try to figure it out and you just enjoy the reveal.
Not even that. I went into it, like, trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's my problem. Like, I should have just let it go and just watched the freaking movie. But I'm, like, checking every nook and cranny of the screen the whole time. But, yeah. Definitely go watch it.
What'd you think of the ending? Because we mentioned it when we left the movie, but we haven't mentioned it here.
So I think they should have ended it with them riding out of the gate and just fade to black right there. I don't think there was any need for what came after that. Mm-hmm. What about you?
That confused me.
Like,
not so much the conversation they had with those people, but his grin as he was right now.
Grin?
It's just like, why is he grinning that way? Like,
so
is that implying something more is happening that I'm not seeing? Or that something's, like, not that they're going to make a sequel, I doubt it, but is that implying that there's, you know, he's still...
And now is he the bad guy?
Yes, so it's just...
Because he has these ills inside of him, like, I'm assuming.
I guess they're still... I don't know.
He can't poop those out, can he?
I'm not sure what happens to them.
But... As they're riding away, and we're getting to the ending, so, like we said earlier, you should pause this and listen to it later before seeing this movie. You may not have an interest in it at all. But anyway, they are riding away on this bike, him and Hannah, the daughter, and he just starts grinning, like, not like a hero victory, yeah, we did it, but like a villainous, Joker-like grin as he rides away with this guy's daughter.
It's strangest thing.
I don't see why the director didn't say cut. That's not what we're looking for. Let's do this over.
Clearly, that's what he wanted. It was the weirdest thing ever. I don't know. But it does add something to the movie because it confuses you again. As soon as you thought you had it.
Once again, but that's a cure for wellness. Anything else with this one?
We skipped a lot, like old people dancing as the buildings are burning down.
And lots of naked old people.
Yep, there were quite a few of those.
I still recommend going into this movie because it's just a good movie. And hopefully you saw it already and enjoyed this conversation. But I think that'll bring us to the end of the episode. We're not going to do the next section of Big Bad Guy movie battle thing because I'm a horrible coordinator and have not gotten with Robert yet about how we're going to match that up. We have the bracket, but since we did what we did last week, it's a little bit confusing, so we have to kind of work that out. I did want to actually put a question out there to all of you and to Robert. I forgot to mention this to you before we started. I want you all to join in on the discussion more. We have GoWatchMovie.com, the website, and I'm thinking about putting a forum on there. I know it's not the 90s anymore, but people still use forums. People get involved with forums. We have different categories like a suggestions area where you can just put your suggestions there if you don't have Twitter or Facebook, a horror section, action, that sort of thing. So get back with me. Email us at gowatchmovie.com or shoot us a Twitter message or a Facebook message if that's something you would like to take part in. I think it'll be fun. Have a nice community of movie watchers talking on there. So I may end up doing it just to see what happens. Mm-hmm. Anything else I'm missing today? You can find us on Facebook, Go Watch Movie. You can find us on Twitter, Go Watch Movie. You can get the podcast on iTunes, and please leave a review and hit subscribe on there. We're on Stitcher, Podomatic.com, and of course you can find the podcast and Robert's Review Corner, which is Hit My Gangbusters. That's a bingo. Right on. on Go Watch. So I would love it if you go there, click around, enjoy that site, because I'm trying to add more and more to it every day, make it prettier. Manlier, I mean. but yeah, go to all those places, podomatic.com. Just give us a listen. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. All that jazz. That's Go Watch a Movie, episode 21 for today. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
Go watch a movie.